الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، in our previous class, the discussion continued about the importance of the chain and the narrators in the chain and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had selected and chosen men from mankind to stand up and to defend the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to transmit the religion sincerely and truthfully to those after them. And we were discussing some issues about the beginning of this affair and how the first time precaution was made with regards to accepting narrations was in the time of the companions radiyallahu anhum, and likewise those who set the model for verifying the narrations was none but the noble companions themselves radiyallahu anhum. And we have seen likewise that this issue is mentioned in the Quran, and Allah, he says subhanahu wa ta'ala in his noble book, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu in ja'akum fasiqun بِنَبَأٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. O you who believe, if a fasiq comes to you, a fasiq meaning a liar or someone who is known for evil. A fasiq is somebody who is known for ارتكاب الكبيرة. الفاسق هو مرتكب الكبيرة أو المصر على الصغيرة. He's the one who commit a major sin, or he is persisting upon minor sin, and he has not repented. This is the definition of the fasiq, مرتكب الكبيرة أو المصر على الصغيرة. So الفسق is ارتكاب الكبيرة أو الإصرار على الصغيرة. Fisq, or corruption and evil. Corruption and evil and sin is to perpetrate a major sin or to persist upon minor sin. So Allah is calling on the believers, O you who believe, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu in ja'akum fasiqun. If a fasiq comes to you, somebody who's found a liar or evil and indecent person, somebody who's known outwardly to commit major crimes, major actions of disobedience, or to be someone who persists upon sin outwardly, and this is known about him, if he comes to you, fatabayyanu, you have to clarify. You have to verify. If he comes to you with any news, in ja'akum fasiqun binaba'in, if he comes to you with any news, with any information, you must verify. Fatabayyanu. Some qira'at, likewise, fatathabbatu. You have to verify. You have to make sure that the information is correct. And tusibu qawman bijahadatin, fatusbihu ala ma fa'altum narimin. Lest that you should harm people in ignorance. Any by falsely accusing them or harming them, blaming them in their honor and reputation whenever they're free and innocent of those claims, based upon relying on the statements of those who are not trustworthy nor reliable. And tusibu qawman bijahadatin fatusbihu ala ma fa'altum, or else you will harm people in ignorance, and afterwards you will become regretful from what you have done. You will have great remorse. And if from basing your judgments and believing and listening to the fasiq. So if this is the obligation with regards to the information that comes from the fasiq, that it must be verified, then the information that comes from the thiqah, the information that comes from the one who is reliable and from the one who is trustworthy, is that it is accepted. And likewise, it has been collected by Abu Dawood and at-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and also at-Darimi. What Imam Ahmed from the hadith of Zayd ibn Thabit radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, نَضَّرَ اللَّهُ امْرَأً سَمِعَ مِنَّ حَدِيثًا فَحَفِظَهُ حَتَّى يُبَلِّغَهُ فَرُبَّ حَامِلِ فِقْهٍ إِلَى مَنْ هُوَ أَفْقَهُ مِنْهُ وَرُبَّ حَامِلِ فِقْهٍ لَيْسَ بِفَقِيهٍ. May Allah enlighten a person and he brighten his face. نَضَّرَ اللَّهُ امْرَأً نَضَّرَ اللَّهُ امْرَأً. May Allah enlighten and brighten, make his face, his life brilliant. The one who hears from us a narration. من سمع منا حديثا فحفظه, and he memorized it. حتى يبلغه, he memorized it so that he can convey it. فرب حامل فقه إلى من هو أفقه منه, because maybe someone will carry fiqh, understanding or jurisprudence in the religion to someone who has greater understanding than him. Maybe someone will carry the jurisprudence or the understanding of the religion to someone who has a greater understanding than him. وَرُبَّ حَامِرِ فِقْهٍ لَيْسَ بِفَقِيهِ. And maybe someone is carrying Islamic knowledge, jurisprudence, understanding in the religion, but he himself is not a person of understanding. He himself is not a person of understanding. Likewise, this narration as well has been narrated as well from the books of the Sunnah, from the narration of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. And this wording, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, نَظَّرَ اللَّهُ امْرَأً سَمِعَ مَقَالَتِي فَوَعَاهَا وَحَفِظَهَا وَبَلَّغَهَا فَرُبَّ حَامِلِ فِقْهٍ إِلَى مَنْ هُوَ أَفْقَهُ مِنْهُ. May Allah enlighten a man, a person, enlighten him. نَظَّرَ مِنَ النَّظَارَ. النَّظَارَ أَدْبَهَا وَالْجَمَالِ والنور والإضاءة, يعني a brilliant light and beautification. May Allah enlighten and make beautiful, brighten the face. يعني a person who hears one of my statements, who hears my statements, فوعاها, and he comprehended it. وحافظها, and he memorized it. وبلغها, and he conveyed it. And he conveyed it. فرب حامل فقه إلى من هو أفقه منه. Because possibly, or maybe someone will carry fiqh, understanding in the religion, to someone who has a greater understanding than him. And likewise, in another wording as well, in a Tirmidhi, also from Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, نَظَّرَ اللَّهُ امْرَأً سَمِعَ مِنَّا شَيْئًا فَبَلَّغَهُ كَمَا سَمِعَ فَرُبَّ مُبَلَّغٍ أَوْعَى مِنْ سَامِعٍ. May Allah enlighten a person, brighten him and grant him brilliance, and he light, great brilliance and light and beauty. The one who hears from us something, and he some narrations, فَبَلَّغَهُ كَمَا سَمِعَ, and he conveyed it in the manner that he heard it. He conveyed it in the manner that he heard it. Because maybe someone who the knowledge is conveyed to will have a greater understanding and comprehension than the one who heard it in the first place. Will have a greater understanding and comprehension than the one who heard it in the first place. The point from these narrations is to see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is encouraging the ummah to learn his narrations and to memorize them and to comprehend them and to understand them and to convey them. Even some of them mentioning specifically, فَبَلَّغَهَا كَمَا سَمِعَ, and then he conveyed it in the manner that he heard it, an indication to the obligation of precision in narration. Not just narrating however and the likes, but rather memorizing it, comprehending it, understanding it, and conveying it the way that it was heard. So these are from the evidences that have come in the book, in the Sunnah, indicating the obligation of these affairs, the obligation of verifying the information before believing it and conveying it. And likewise, the obligation of striving to comprehend the information properly that has come, that is authentic, if it is verified, that is from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to strive to understand it, to strive to comprehend it, to strive to know what is intended from those narrations and to convey that precisely as it was taught and as it was conveyed, to convey it precisely as it was learned and as it was transmitted. So again, this issue is specific with the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It has come in Minhaj al-Sunnah by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Saymiyyah. He mentioned, rahimahullah, al-isnadu min khasa'isi hadhihi al-ummah wa huwa min khasa'isi al-islam thumma huwa fi al-islami min khasa'isi ahli sunnah. That al-isnad, the chain of narrations, min khasa'is hadhihi al-ummah, this is from the specific traits and qualities of this nation. Wa huwa min khasa'is al-islam, and this is from the specific traits of al-Islam. وَهُوَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ مِنْ خَصَائِصِ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ, and the chain with regards to the people of al-Islam is from the specific traits of the people of the Sunnah. The chain is specific to this Ummah, a virtue that no other nations had before, only this Ummah, and it's specific to al-Islam. And from the people of al-Islam, it's even more specific to the people of the Sunnah, precisely. The people of the Sunnah, precisely. This is similar to what we had read in our previous class, also from the statement of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullahu ta'ala. In our previous class, we had closed and were reading some benefits from the work of al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah. He died in the year 748. He has many works, and from them, Tadhkiratul Hufalf. Tadhkiratul al-Hufalf. And the very first biography in this work is the biography of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And the second one after that is Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. And we have seen some benefits with regards to that which is mentioned there. And these narrations are found in other works likewise. But just to summarize, that there was a grandmother who came to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and she was hoping to have her inheritance. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said, "I do not know anything in the book of Allah that gives you a right, nor do I know a narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about that." And so at this time, he asked those around him from the other companions. Mughira ibn Shu'bah, who stood up, and he testified that he knows a narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that her right is a sixth of the inheritance. And then Abu Bakr, he wanted to verify and to take precaution. He said, "Does anyone else along with you know this narration or know this ruling?" And at this time, Muhammad ibn Maslama radiallahu anhu, he stood up and likewise testified to the same ruling. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, based upon these testimonies, he sent forth the judgment for her and gave her her right in the inheritance. At this narration of Dhahabi, he says, وَكَانَ أَوَّلُ مَنْ إِحْتَاطَ فِي قَبُولِ الْأَخْبَارِ Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So the first one to take precaution in accepting the narrations was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. This was the point that we're making in the previous class. Likewise, we read the story of Umar radiallahu anhu. It was from the narration of Abi Sa'id radiallahu anhu, that Abu Musa had came to the house of Umar and he knocked to seek permission three times, and permission was not granted, so he left. And then later, Umar, he caught up with him and asked him why he left. He said, "Because I sought permission three times and I was not allowed, so I left." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that if you seek permission three times and you're not granted permission, then you should leave. Then you should leave. إِذَا اسْتَأْذَنَ أَحَدُكُمْ ثَلَاثًا فَلَمْ يُؤْذَنْ لَهُ فَلْيَرْجِعْ. So at this time, Umar, he said, "You're going to bring a proof. You're going to bring a proof for this," because he never heard this narration. So he sent him out. And Abu Musa, he was nervous about this affair. And he came into a gathering of the Ansar, and he asked him. And amongst them was Ubay ibn Ka'b. And apparently all of them, they're aware of this narration. That Abu Musa, he's asking for someone who heard the narration to come testify along with him. So Ubay ibn Ka'b, radiallahu anhu, he said that only the smallest of us will stand, only the youngest of us will go with you. Any indication that all of them, they're aware of this affair. All of them, they're aware of this affair, even the young ones. So at this time, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, he was the youngest in the gathering, he went and he informed Umar radiallahu anhu. There are other wordings of this narration which is very important, and Umar, he mentioned in these other wordings that Ibn Hajar, he mentioned in Al-Fath, yani referring to this issue, that Umar, he said to Abu Musa, "Amma inni lam attahimka, walakinni aradtu alla yajtari'a an-nasu ala al-hadithi al-rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." He said, "Indeed, I'm not accusing you. I was not accusing you. Yani I was not telling you to go verify and to bring someone along with you to testify because I didn't believe you or because I'm accusing you of lying or being negligent in narrating, but I was doing this meaning to set an example so that the people will not be bold enough to just speak lightly about the narrations of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, So al-Dhahabi, he mentioned in commentary on this narration about Umar radiallahu anhu, وَهُوَ الَّذِي سَنَّ لِلْمُحَدِّثِينَ أَتَثَبُّتَ فِي النَّقَلِ. He is the one who set the standard for the scholars of hadith to verify when transmitting narrations. So in the time of the companions radiallahu anhum, they were not known for lying. Rather, they're all upright and trustworthy, and they're all reliable. And these issues that are occurring here from Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhum is not because they didn't trust or believe those who are narrating to them, because they're companions, but they're setting a standard and they're teaching a lesson or those who are coming after them. That narrating on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is something that's very serious, and people have to take precaution, and they have to verify and make sure that that which they're narrating is proper and correct, that they should not ascribe anything to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without first verifying that what they're saying is proper and correct, that what they're saying is proper and correct. Because of the well-known narration from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من كذب علي متعمدا فليتبوأ مقعده من النار. Whoever lies on me intentionally, then let him take his seat in the hellfire. Then let him take his seat in the hellfire. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كفى بالمرء كذبا أن يحدث بكل ما سمع. That it suffices a person that he will fall into lying, that he will narrate everything that he hears. It's sufficient for a person to be considered lying, that he will narrate everything that he hears. And so the one that narrates everything that he hears, and he does not distinguish the information that reaches him, and he narrates it like that loosely without verification, then he's going to fall into lying, whether he realizes it or not. So the companions did not used to lie. And this has been narrated from Aisha and from Anas and from other than them. And the trait that was most disgusting and detested to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and likewise to his companions radiallahu anhu after him, was lying. And it's collected by Imam Ahmed from the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that she says, مَا كَانَ خُلُقٌ أَبْغَضَ إِلَىٰ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alaihi wasallam مِنَ الْكَذِبِ. There was no trait, there's no characteristics that was more disgusting, more detestful. That was more detestful to the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam than lying. And the worst trait they could have, a believer could have, a man could have, waliyadhu billah, is that he will lie, waliyadhu billah, he will be a liar. This is from the specific traits of the hypocrites. Any of those pure hypocrites, they lie, even about their faith and their belief, waliyadhu billah. So lying is a foul and lowly trait. ما كان خلقٌ أبغض إلى أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من الكذب. There was no خلق, there was no mannerism that was more detestful to the companions of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم than lying. ولقد كان الرجل يكذب عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الكذبة فما زال في نفسه عليه حتى يعلم أنه قد أحدث منها توبة. And a man would lie in the presence of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man would tell a lie, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would become aware of that, and he would continue to be angry with that individual until he knew certainly that person repented from that lie. Likewise, in the book As-Sunnah by Ibn Abi Asim rahimahullah ta'ala, with his chain to Anas ibn Malik, he was narrating a narration that a man, he said, أَنْتَ سَمِعْتَهُ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And Anas, he's teaching his students narrations. He's narrating on the Messenger صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So a man, he says, أَنْتَ سَمِعْتَهُ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Did you hear that from the Messenger of Allah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. فَغَضِبَ غَضَبًا شَدِيدًا. So Anas, he became severely angry. رضي الله عنه, he says, قال والله ما كل ما نحدثكم به سمعناه من رسول الله. He said, I swear by Allah, not everything we narrate to you, we heard it ourselves from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَكِنْ كَانَ يُحَدِّثُ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا وَلَا يَتَّهِمُ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا. But we used to narrate to one another, and we did not used to accuse each other of lying, but rather we narrate to one another. And sometimes one of the companions, he would be busy, and he would not be able to attend the gathering of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and others would. And those who were present, they would inform those who were not present. Even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he informed them the likes of this in Hajjatul Wada', that it وَلْيُبَالِغِ الشَّاهِدْ مِنْكُمْ الْغَائِبِ, that the one who is present should inform the one who is absent. The one who is absent. It's been mentioned authentically that Umar radiallahu anhu, he had a neighbor from the Ansar. They used to live in the Awali, in the upper parts of Medina. And they had a job, they had work that they would do in the fields and the likes like this. And one day, Umar, he would go down to the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sit in the gatherings and learn the knowledge and come back and tell his neighbor. And the next day his neighbor would go like this, and they would take turns. So sometimes the companions, they would hear narrations directly from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and other times they would hear it one from the other. And they were not a people known for lying. They were not a people known for lying. So these narrations here about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu verifying this issue, verifying this issue. Whenever Mughira has stepped up, he asks, is there anyone along with you? Until Muhammad ibn Maslam has stepped up. This is in order to set the pace, to clarify that this is something that you take precaution with, that this is something you don't be hasty with. This is about an Islamic ruling that was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the right of this woman, the right of this grandmother. Does she have a right in the Book of Allah or not? Does she have a right in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or not? This has to be verified. You have to be cautious before you make judgments and rulings in the deen of Allah, because it's like you're speaking on behalf of the Lord of the worlds. On behalf of the Lord of the worlds, in this manner like this, making a judgment, saying that that's the rule of Allah azza wa jalla. And likewise, Umar radiallahu anhu, he wanted to set the same standard, that those who are going to narrate these narrations, they have to verify and they have to check. They have to verify and they have to check, and they have to make sure that which is being transmitted is proper and correctly ascribed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, التثبت والتبين والاحتياط في قبول الرواية, to verify and to check and make sure and accept and taking precaution, accepting narrations, this began in the time of the noble companions radiallahu anhu, rather the best of them. Also, there's narrations that have come from Ali radiallahu anhu, similar to like this, that he would, whenever somebody would narrate to him, he would tell them to swear by Allah, you heard that. Swear by Allah, you heard that. Like this, to emphasize for the people that this is something that is very serious and is very dangerous, and you have to take precaution. You have to take precaution. So the stages of verification and mentioning the names of the narrators are in general three. So the people of knowledge, they have summarized them in this manner: مراحل استعمال الإسناد والسؤال عنه, the stages of using the chain, how it came about, and asking about the narrators. So the first level, the first stage, the first marhala was in the time of the companions, radiallahu anhum, التثبت في الرواية والاحتياط في قبول الأخبار, to verify in narrations and to take precaution and accepting information. This was in the time of the major companions, كبار الصحابة, like Abu Bakr and Umar and Ali, radiallahu anhum. After this, some time passed, and the second stage came. It became more emphasized. And this was a stage of تأكيد. التأكيد في السؤال عن الإسناد. التأكيد في السؤال عن الإسناد. This is whenever they started emphasizing the issue of asking about the chain and asking about the narrators and verifying where the information is coming from. And this happened بعد مقتل عثمان رضي الله عنه. This has happened after the murder of عثمان رضي الله عنه, which was in year? Was it, which was in what year? When did Uthman die? Radiallahu anhu, huh? Khamsa. 35. In the year 35. So this was in the year 35. So by the year 35, now they're emphasizing this affair. This is why Muhammad ibn Sirin, he died in the year 110, he mentioned, which is also collected by an Imam Muslim in the Muqaddimah of Sahih Muslim. He said, لم يكونوا يسألون عن الإسناد. That they didn't used to ask about the isnad. They didn't used to ask about the chain. And he emphasizing this affair. They did not used to go into great emphasis about this affair. فَلَمَّا وَقَعَتِ الْفِتْنَةِ قَالُوا سَمُّوا لَنَا رِجَالَكُمْ. But whenever the fitna befall, whenever the fitna befell, they said, tell us the name of your men. And who did you hear these narrations from? Who did you get this information from that you're ascribing to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? فَيُنْظَرُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ السُنَّةِ فَيُؤْخَذُ حَدِيثُهُمْ. وَيُنْظَرُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْبِدْعِ وَلَا فَلَا يُؤْخَذُ حَدِيثُهُمْ. So it will be looked to the people of the Sunnah and their narrations would be accepted. And will be looked to the people of innovation and their narrations would not be accepted. So the fitna that's being referred to here, they didn't used to ask about the chain. They didn't just ask about the narrators and in this great detail and with this great emphasis until the fitna befell. And what is intended by the fitna here is the murder of Uthman, because at this time the Ummah started to divide and the deviant sects they entered, the Khawarij they had come, and the Rafidah they had come, and the Shia and the likes they had come, and then briefly after that the deviant sects they start coming as well, the Mu'tazila and the Murji'ah and the Qadariya, yani the Qadariya and the Mu'tazila and the Murji'ah and the likes like this, they're coming as well. So now the people they start lying and ascribing falsely thanks to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise people deviated in their religion and they had creeds that were corrupt and contrary to the creed of the pious predecessors. Any of those noble scholars that were alive that day, they were carrying their religion. So they're not reliable in their transmission. So they start verifying. they start verifying this. So this is whenever there is an emphasis with regards to this, because of the appearance of the deviant sex, along with the widespread of lying. Of lying, وليذ بالله. This is the second stage. Then the third stage is a stage of iltizam, والإلزام بالأسانيد. Whenever they're holding fast to the chain, and the chain becomes a necessary obligation. They wouldn't accept narrations without the chain. It became a strict methodology, and a way. And like we have seen from Ibn Sirin as well, and also Ibn al-Mubarak, Adisnadu bin al-Din. This was after this period. It's the third period, whenever the chain became a necessity and it became a methodology in a way. And the people of Hadith, they would not narrate except with chain. And it's been reported from Az-Zuhri, rahimahullah. Who's that? Muhammad ibn Shihab Az-Zuhri. He died in the year 124. He's from the first, as we have mentioned before, from the first to collect the narrations. He's from the first to verify and to also set the standard and to emphasize, to force the people to narrate by chain. And to force the people to narrate by chain. So it's been mentioned that كان ابن أبي فروة يقول قال رسول الله قال رسول الله. He was in the company of this man. His name is Ibn Abi Farwa. He's saying the Messenger of Allah said this. The Messenger of Allah said that. صلى الله عليه وسلم, without any chain. فقال له زهري. So زهري, he said to him, قاتلك الله يا ابن أبي فروة. He said, may Allah fight you, أو ابن أبي فروة. قاتلك الله, يعني may you be cursed. يعني this is the meaning. ما أجرأك على الله. How bold are you against Allah? How bold are you with Allah? لا تسندوا حديثك. You don't mention the chains for your narrations. تحدثوا بأحاديث ليس لها خطم ولا أزمة. You're narrating narrations that have no ropes and have no reins, and they have no chains. And meaning he's reprimanding him harshly in this manner. Don't do that. How dare you narrate narrations and ascribe it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You don't mention any chain whatsoever. You just leave it open to say whatever you like without any proof or evidence. And also another narration that Zuhri, he was in Asham. He was in Asham, rahimahullah. And he said to the people of Asham, any of the students of Hadith, تعالوا حتى حديثكم, come so I can narrate to you. So فسمعهم يقولون قال رسول الله قال رسول الله. So he heard them and they're gathering saying the Messenger of Allah said this, the Messenger of Allah said that. Any meaning with no chain. Meaning with no chain. فقال يا أهل الشام ما لي أرى حديثكم ليس لها أزمة ولا خطم. He said, oh people of Sham, why do I see that your narrations have no reins and no ropes to tie them down? Have no reins and no ropes to tie them down. And he's reprimanding them likewise. So from the scholars of Sham in those days, Al-Walid ibn Muslim, rahimahullah, and he was there. He says, and he's the one narrating this narration, he says, وَقَبَضَ يَدَهُ. Walid ibn Muslim, after he mentioned this affair, and he was present. He was from those who were reprimanded in this gathering. He grabbed, he clutched his hands like this. He clutched his hands like this into a fist, and he said, فَتَمَسَّكَ أَصْحَابُنَا بِالْأَسَانِيدِ يَوْمَئِذٍ. So from that day, all of us were holding fast to the chain. They understood what he meant and what he intended, and they took the reprimand from Az-Zuhri, and after that, they held fast to the chain, meaning they did not narrate except by mentioning the chain of narration along with that which they ascribed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this was the third stage, and this was whenever it became incumbent to mention the narrations, and people will be reprimanded. People will be reprimanded if a person is narrating without a chain. They would ask him where did he hear that from, and if he was attempting to lie, then he would be confused and he would be terrified and he would be nervous to say, because he knows that now these scholars here, these men here, they will stand up and they will verify and they will be able to identify if he's lying or not. They will be able to identify if he's lying or not. So therefore, it's incumbent. It's incumbent, yani, to love these men for the efforts that they have made and to follow their way. And this is the means to understand the proper religion. The means to understand the proper religion. Even in the time of Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he was emphasizing this affair. If we go back a little bit now to around the second stage, before in the time of the companions, or after the death of Uthman, just recently. It's been narrated from Mujahid. This is also found in the introduction of Sahih Muslim, from the hadith of Mujahid ibn Jabr, rahimahullah. He said, جَاءَ بَشِيرِ ibn كَعْبٍ عَدْوِي إِلَى ibn Abbas فَجَعَلَ يُحَدِّثُ يَقُولُ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. He said that Bashir ibn al-Ka'b, al-Adawi. He came to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he started narrating narrations. He said, the Messenger of Allah said this, the Messenger of Allah said that. فَجَعَلَ لَا يَأْذَنُ لِحَدِيثِهِ وَلَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِ. So Ibn Abbas, he started not paying any attention to his narrations. He did not listen to him, nor did he even look at him whatsoever. فَقَالَ يَا Ibn Abbas, مَا لِي لَا أَرَكَ تَسْمَعُ حَدِيثِي. So he said, oh, Ibn Abbas, رضي الله عنهما, why do I find you not listening to my narrations? Why do I find you not listening to my narrations? يُحَدِيثُكَ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ لَا تَسْمَعُ. I'm narrating to you narrations on the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You're not even listening. فَقَالَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ إِنَّ كُنَّ مَرَّةً إِذَا سَمِعْنَا رَجُلًا يَقُولُ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ ابْتَدَرَتْهُ أَبْصَارُنَا وَسْغَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ بِآذَانِنَا فَلَمَّا رَكِبَ النَّاسُ الصَّعْبَ وَالذُّلُولَ لَمْ نَأْخُذْ مِنَ النَّاسِ إِلَّا مَا نَعْرِفُ إِلَّا مَا نعرف. He said, radiallahu anhu, that one time if we heard a man saying, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, then our eyes would look at him directly, and we would lend him our ear and listen attentively. But whenever the people, they started riding on the sa'b and the lul, and this is an expression that he's using, فَلَمَّا رَكِبَ النَّاسُ الصَّعْبَ وَالذُّلُولَ. And whenever people started riding on every type of animal, a sa'b is the camel that's hard to deal with and hard to ride. And the dhul is a camel that's submissive. And he's saying whenever people just started riding on any camel whatsoever, whatever camel they find, they just get on and ride it. We did not take the narrations from the people except those who we know. A reference to an issue that occurred that was a reason to be cautious in taking knowledge. And that is that people start taking knowledge from everywhere. فَلَمَّا رَكِبَ النَّاسِ الصَّعْبَ وَالذُّرُودِ. This is what he's talking about. Whenever أَخَذَ النَّاسِ الْحَدِيثِ أَنْ كُلِّ مَنْ حَبَّ وَدَبْ أَنْ كُلِّ مَنْ حَبَّ وَدَبْ وَكُلِّ مَنْ جَاءَ وَرَحَى. And every person that comes and goes, when people start taking knowledge from anybody who comes and talks about it, at this time we stop taking knowledge except from those people that we know. When everybody starts talking about the Messenger, ascribing things like this and taking knowledge from here and there and saying this and saying that about the deen, and whenever people entered into this arena who do not belong to be there, and they started speaking without knowledge, then we back up, and we don't accept it from everyone. Rather, we only accept it from the people who are qualified. Who are qualified. So the very first, from the first of the people, after the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, we've seen examples of the companions, how they would verify and they would check. Three of them so far, they were Abu Bakr, Umar, Ibn Abbas. And also there's stories as well, and I summarized them and didn't mention them, Ali, radiallahu anhu jami'an. So again, the narration of Muhammad ibn Sirin. When did he die? And in 110, the same year as Al-Hasan al-Basri. Usfurani bi-hajar, two birds with one stone. Al-Hasan al-Basri and Muhammad ibn Sirin, they died in the same year, 110. So again, in the introduction of Sahih Muslim, he mentioned the narration of Muhammad ibn Sirin. لَمْ يَكُونُوا يَسَّلُونَ عَنَ الْإِسْنَادِ. They didn't used to ask about the chain. فَلَمَّا وَقَعَتِ الْفِتْنَةِ. But whenever the fitna fell, well, whenever the trials befell, قَالُوا سَمُّوا لَنَا رِجَالَكُمْ. They said, tell us who your men are. And who did you hear these narrations from? Where did you get this information from? What is the fitna being referred to here? The death of Uthman, radiallahu anhu, which was in the year of 35. So around this time, this is when they start asking. This is when they start being emphasizing the issue of asking about the chain. فَيُنْظَرُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ فَيُؤْخَذُ حَدِيثُهُمْ. It will be looked to the people of the sunnah, I mean those who are reliable, those who we know that are from the people of the sunnah, and we'll accept their narrations, and you will learn from them and benefit. وَيُنْظَرُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْبِدَعِ فَلَا يُؤْخَذُ حَدِيثُهُمْ. And it will be looked to the people of innovation, and their narrations would not be accepted. With this book here, it has more than one book in it. One of the books here, this is a book of Al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah ta'ala. It's an old book, mashallah. Allahumma barik. This is a gem. Allahumma barik. This book here is called the name of this book. The name of this book is by Al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah. It's called Dhikru Man Yu'tamadu Qawluhu Fi Jarh At-Ta'dil. ذِكْرُ مَنْ يُعْتَمَدُ قَوْلُهُ فِي الْجَحْوَةَ It's the mention of those whom their statements are relied upon in the science of جَحْوَةَ تَعْدِيلِ And praising and criticizing the narrators. And praising and criticizing the narrators. Just the name lets you know that there are people who are relied upon and there are people who are not relied upon. And in these days we find people left and right speaking in this arena. And they don't even know how to say it. Sometimes I say جُرْحُ وَتَعْدِيلِ Al-jurh wa ta'adil. Ya Allah, it's not al-jurh. Al-jurh is a cut on the body. Al-jurh. Al-jurh wa ta'adil. Allah, what happened to Waqi' whenever he went to Amish? He said, Aula bika anta ta'alam al-nahw qabla ta'alam al-hadith. More rightful you learn al-nahw before you learn hadith. It's called al-jurh wa ta'adil. Al-jurh is criticism. Al-jurh is a slice in the skin, a wound in the skin. Huh? And that's called jurh. But jar is criticism and the honor of someone, criticizing someone's honor and finding fault with their honor. So there's a difference between the two. And the point is, the title of the book, ذِكْرُ مَنْ يُعْتَمَدُ قَوْلُهُ فِي الْجَحْرِ تَعْدِيلِ The mention of those whom their statements are relied upon, accepted, and the science of جَحْرِ تَعْدِيلِ. And in the introduction, he mentions very brief benefits that are very important. Then after that, he mentions tabaqa, 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 names after name after name, all the way into the later generations. But the point now is to read this statement here that he says, فَأَوَّلُ مَنْ زَكَّى وَجَرَّحَ عِنْدَ انْقِرَاضِ عَصْرِ الصَّحَابَةِ فَأَوَّلُ مَنْ زَكَّى يعني تَزْكِيَ وَجَرَّحَ يعني الْجَرَّحَ The first of those to praise the narrators, and the men of the religion and the narrators of hadith, and to criticize at the end of the era of the companions, he says, Rahimahullah, Ash-Sha'bi wa Ibn Sirin wa Nahuhuma. Ash-Sha'bi wa Ibn Sirin. Ash-Sha'bi, he's from those who learned from the students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And he was along with the people in Al-Kufa and the students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Ash-Sha'bi, he died in 103. And Ibn Sirin, he died in 110. Ibn Sirin, he heard from Anas and the likes. Radiallahu. Anhum. So they're the first ones. So he says, Ash-Sha'bi wa Ibn Sirin wa Nahuhuma and the likes of them too. Hufidha anhuma tawthiqu unasin wa tad'ifu akharin. That it was memorized, it was learned from them, and it was transmitted and passed down from them the appraisal of individuals and the criticism of others. And he meaning that they are the first ones to speak about this affair, and then those after them learn from them, and those whom they praised, and the methodology of appraisal, and the terms that they used, and the likes like this, and it was memorized. They took it mushafaha. They learned it from them by word of mouth, and it was transmitted to them after. And he's numbering them here. So he mentioned number one, number two. And then after that, number three, number four, he mentions the first tabaqa, and the second tabaqa, and the third tabaqa, referring to the scholars of al-jarh wa-ta'adil. So in this manner, this science unfolded, and the religion was protected and preserved by these men, in this manner. There's a narration by Al-Rabi ibn Sulayman. Al-Rabi ibn Sulayman, he is from the great students of Imam al-Shafi, rahimahullah. He died in the year 270. He says, سَمِعْتُ الشَّافِعِي يَقُولُ I heard a Shafi'i saying, وَذُكِرَ مَنْ يَحْمِلُ الْعِلْمَ جُزَافًا And it was mentioned about the one who carries knowledge, جُزَافًا جُزَافًا, what's that mean? And it just all at once, from here and from there. And he's just taking knowledge from here and from there. Just all, putting it all together in one thing, or not checking, or not looking, and not verifying. Whenever you have something juzafa, for example, you sell it juzafa. You just put all, you have a bunch of dates, you just throw them all in here, you don't look at them or nothing, you sell it like that. You just sell it like that, a big pot of them. Not looking at them, not counting them, not weighing them, not measuring them, not looking at them to see if they're good or bad, they're rotten, they're new, they're old. You just put them all together in a big pile and sell it like that, juzafan. And meaning with no checking, no verifying. No checking, no verifying. So he's going to talk about an issue here that I'll mention now so we understand. An issue called of Hatib al-Layl, something that the Arabs, they call Hatib al-Layl. Hatib al-Layl is the person, the Hatib, he's the one who goes and collects firewood. But Hatib al-Layl, the one who collects firewood at nighttime. This is an example for somebody that does something without any concern or care, and he just does it juzafa. He does it juzafa, and he just all together. For example, if somebody's going to go collect firewood in the desert at nighttime, and he can't see. He's going to just gather up the wood like this. Many times he might gather scorpions and snakes and other poisonous creatures and the likes like this and not even know it. And they'll put it into a bundle and tie it with a belt and put it on his back, right? So the one who does this and at nighttime, he's a fool. He most of the time he's going to harm himself and not even know it. He's just taking wood from here, wood from here, wood from here, wood from here, gathering it all together, tying it on, throwing it on his back and rolling out and running off. Right? So maybe he's got a scorpion with him, maybe he's got a snake with him, maybe he's got a spider with him. He doesn't know, and he's going to harm himself and he doesn't even know. And this is an example of someone likewise, a student or a scholar that's considered Hafibul Layl. He takes knowledge from everywhere. Taking knowledge from everywhere. This is the point he's going to make now. So Ash-Shafi, he says, قَالَ هَذَا مَثَلُ حَافِبْ أَقْبَلَ يَقْطَعُ حُزْمَةَ حَطَبٍ فَيَحْمِلُهَا وَلَعَلَّ فِيهَا أَفْعَى تَلْدَغُهُ وَهُوَ لَا يَدْرِي. That this is the example of the Hafib, any Hafib al-Layl, the one who is collecting the firewood at nighttime. He's going to go and collect and cut the firewood and gather together and tie it together and then carry it, and maybe it's going to have an af'a. An af'a is like a viper, and a poisonous snake. Maybe he's going to have a poisonous snake, and it's going to bite him, and he doesn't even know. He doesn't even know. The one who takes knowledge like this, the one who takes knowledge from here and from there, the one who goes to YouTube, and it just starts taking knowledge from anyone like this, any guy on YouTube with the shemagh on, or any guy on YouTube who's talking about Islam, or any guy on YouTube that has 100,000 followers, or any guy on YouTube that somebody says listen to, and the likes like this. It just goes all over the place. Like this is the example Imam Shafi is saying of Hafib al-Layl. He's going to gather up the firewood, and maybe he's got a snake in it, and a very poisonous snake, and he doesn't even know it's ready to bite him. Qala al-Rabi. Al-Rabi, he mentions a benefit here, the meaning of this. He says, يعني الذين لا يسألون عن الحجة من أين. Meaning those people, they don't ask for the proof. Where did you get that from? They don't ask for the proof. Where did you get that from? يكتبوا العلم وهو لا يدري على غير فهم. He writes knowledge and he seeks knowledge and learns knowledge and he doesn't even know. He does it without having any understanding. فيكتبوا عن الكذاب وعن الصدوق وعن المبتدع. So he'll take knowledge, he'll write knowledge, meaning he will take and learn knowledge from the liar, from the known liar, and from the one who's saduk, and he's the one he's trustworthy himself, but he's not strong in knowledge. And he's a good person, but he's not strong in knowledge, or from the innovators and other than them. فَيَحْمِلُ عَنْ الْكَذَّابِ وَالْمُبْتَدِعِ الْأَبَاطِيلِ. So then he will carry learning from the liar and from the innovator, falsehood. Falsehood. Now he carries falsehood from them. So now his knowledge is mixed with falsehood and with doubts, misconceptions, things that are not true. And many times the liar and the mubtadi', they don't come saying, I'm a liar, I'm lying to you. What does he do? He makes his lies, he dresses the lies up with truth so that you accept it. And likewise the mubtadi', he doesn't come to you and say, watch out, I'm a mubtadi', I have bid'ah. Well, many times they say, Ahl-Sunnah, or even they say, Salafiyah. Right, and the likes like this, but in reality, he's a mubtadi, he's a khariji, or the likes like that. So you have to be careful because you're going to take knowledge from them, and some of that is falsehood. Rather, much of it may be falsehood. And he says, فَيَحْمِلُ عَنِ الْكَذَابِ وَالْمُبْتَدِعِ الْأَبَاطِيلِ فَيَسِيرُ ذَلِكَ نَقْصًا لِإِيمَانِهِ وَهُوَ لَا يَدْرِي. So now, since he's learning from the liar and the innovator, he's carrying knowledge from them that is falsehood. That is falsehood, misconceptions, misunderstandings. It's not true. It's not real. Shubuhat, yani. Shubuhat. Innovations, misunderstandings, and doubts in the religion. And now his iman will become deficient because of that. And he doesn't even know. He doesn't even know. Meaning this knowledge directly affects his faith. He's going to carry this knowledge that he believes is correct and it's not correct. He's going to believe it's correct and it's not correct. It's falsehood. Some of them, they believe in falsehood. They hear some person with elegant speech, and then they wind up denying the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. Or they wind up believing that it's permissible to call on a grave besides Allah Azza wa Jal. Or they have doubts about this affair after it's been clarified in a number of classes, in a number of lectures, in a number of khutbah, in a number of books, in a number of audios. The great right of Allah Azza wa Jal to be worshipped alone, and that from the greatest act of worship is supplication and dua. And then after that, somebody will listen to the wrong people and they will present some flimsy doubt and he'll be affected. And he, subhanAllah, because he's putting himself in the wrong position. That's why the people of knowledge, they say, Man kana mukhatiran fala yukhatir bidinihi. Who's going to take risks? Let him not take risks with his religion. Taking risks in the worldly affair, taking risks in business sometimes might pay off. And even if it doesn't pay off, then inshallah, it's a loss that you can handle. But if you take a risk with your religion and you take a loss in your deen, you can't mend that. Many times it doesn't mend. It doesn't come. You cannot rectify that affair. It's a great break and loss, yani, in one's life. It's a great failure and loss in one's life. So we do not put our religion at jeopardy. We do not put our religion at jeopardy. Wallahu al-musta'an. Wallahu musta'an. So we have taken a number of names from the scholars of the Salaf. We have taken six of them, whom Ali ibn Madini rahimahullah mentioned that the chain revolves around. And then from them there were 12 more who learned from them that the chains revolve around after them. And then from those 12 there were six more whom the chains revolve around likewise after them. And this is from each of those tabaqat that we had discussed. And even before them there were three main companions who had schools of thought and knowledge and were teaching and giving religious verdicts. And they had students who were following their way and transmitting their knowledge after them. And they were Abdullah ibn Mas'ud in Al-Kufa, which is in Al-Iraq, and Abdullah ibn Abbas in Mecca, and Zayd ibn Thabit in Al-Madinah, radiallahu anhum. And we have taken some of their students likewise that reach back to those six. And from their students come to those six that we had discussed that the chains revolve around. So we have studied some of their biographies or some benefits about them, that starting next week we can take some brief biographies of some of the students of these companions and some of these individuals that we have been learning about in the past few days. Not take all of them, but some of the most important ones, like Alqamah and Abida, and maybe Shuraih, and like Sa'id ibn Jubair and Sa'id ibn Musayyib and Fuqaha al-Sab'ah. Some of them we'll take in more detail than others, but all of them will be in a summarized manner, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan. So just to review, who are some of the students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu? Alqamah ibn Qais al-Nakhai, and Ibrahim al-Nakhai. He is from the students of the students, Ibrahim. Ibrahim, he's the one who narrated from the students. Ibrahim al-Nakhai, Nam. It was Qais, it was Alqamah ibn Qais al-Nakhai, and Al-Aswad ibn Yazid al-Nakhai, and also Shuraih al-Qadhi, and Masruq ibn Ajda', Nam, and also Shaqiq ibn Salama. We didn't talk about him, but he's there also. Shaqiq ibn Salama. And Al-Amash, he was with Ibrahim. So he learned from the students of Ibn Mas'ud. That's the next generation, or that's the next level. So it was Alqamah and Al-Aswad and Shuraih, and also Sha'bi, and also Amr ibn Sharahbil, and Harith ibn Qais. Yes, these were the main ones. There are five or six of them that he mentioned in the book that we're studying. And then from them, who learned from them directly was Ibrahim al-Nakhai, and also al-A'mash. What was al-A'mash's name? Al-A'mash Suleiman ibn Mihran. He died in 148. He's from the six. He's from the six that the chains revolve around. And also along with him was Abu Ishaq al-Sabi'i as well, who learned also from the students. Al-Amash, he learned from Ibrahim al-Nakhi, and Abu Ishaq likewise was along with Al-Amash. So it was the students of Ibn Mas'ud, and then from them was Ibrahim al-Nakhi and al-Sha'bi, and then from them was Abu Ishaq an Amish, like this, coming down in that manner. Who can remember the six that the chains revolve around? In Medina. Muhammad ibn Shihab al-Zuhri. He died in 124. In Mecca. Amr ibn Dinar. He died in 126. MashaAllah. In al-Basra. Qatada ibn Diyama al-Sudus. He died in 117. Also another one. Yahya ibn Abi Kathir. Yahya ibn Abi Kathir. He died in 132. He died in 132. And then in al-Kufa. Abu Ishaq al-Sabi'i. He died in 129. And Al-A'mash, Sulaiman ibn Mihran. Sulaiman ibn Mihran. He died in the year 148. And then from them, there were 12. Who can remember some of them? In Mecca, in Medina. Huh? Malik ibn Anas. Ishaq ibn Yasar. Huh? Muhammad ibn Ishaq. Naam, Mutalibi. Naam. Ibn Jurayj. Ibn Jurayj's name is Abdul Malik ibn Abdul Aziz ibn Jurayj. He died in 152. Malik ibn Anas, he died in 179. Who else? Sufyan ibn Yayna, 198. That was in Mecca. Also Ma'mar ibn Rashid, 154. And also Sa'id ibn Abi Aruba. I think it's 183, 182, huh? 158. I'm getting mixed up. Who was in 183? Huh? Bashir ibn Hushaym ibn Bashir. Hushaym ibn Bashir, huh? Naam, he's in Wasit. Who else? Hamad ibn Salama. 162, 168. Hamad ibn Salama, 168. There's another Hamad. His name is Hamad. He's not there though. Hamad ibn Zayd. Hamad ibn Zayd. There's Hamadan wa Sufyanan. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.